Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful. Welcome to it. It's June the 12th, 2025, and it's time for your TNA Impact Post Show. I am at Joel Pearl, thejoelpearl.com on Blue Sky. And with me, as always, the number one, the ride or die. She gets the real ring. None of that fake stuff. She is the system. Cress the Stars here. How you doing?
Do you want to know something? I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. How are you doing, Joel?
I did want to know something. I wanted to know how you were doing.
I mean, that's fair. I am here. Wrestling is wrestling. I'm happy to be here with you guys and talk about Total Nonstop Action TNA.
And Total Nonstop it was. Coming off of Against All Odds from this past Friday, a show that we did not do a review for, but you know, I went back, I did watch it, I saw bits and pieces of things I wanted to live, and then I went back and watched the actual show in its entirety the other day, and yeah, it wasn't a bad show. It was a fine plus special. There were certain things that absolutely drove me up the wall in 2025. Maybe we'll talk about it, and I'm not talking about Trick Williams. But there were certain things where I just could have done it without. But either way, tonight's episode of Impact, coming off of Against All Odds, I thought was a pretty good time. Not perfect, not by any means. There were certain things that I think production got too cutesy and tripped up on themselves. But overall, it was a fairly strong night of wrestling. There's some good stuff going on. What do you think overall of this thing we call TNA Impact?
Tonight, I thought this was a good chance for people who I would consider, quote unquote, the undercard, to really get a lot of shine. I hate to say this because I love being a hater, but AJ Francis continues to be the Don Callis of TNA, because I'm always going to be on your TV screen, whether you like it or not. And I have to commend him. I really have to commend him, because for the last couple of weeks, again, whether you like him or not, First Class is making sure you know who they are. So him, well, First Class in general, the Knockouts division always shined, and tonight was no different. So this is very, like, I would say 4 out of 5 if I had to give it a little number.
And AJ's bald, so the Don Callis thing kind of translates.
Yes. Yo, Trick Williams said you like Skid's eye tonight, and that popped me. So I think I might be on the First Class Trick, whatever they got going. I hate it, because I love to be a hater. I do. But they might got me, because it's Connery over there. And I do love a good sports entertainment.
No, this is the right team to be seconding Trick Williams.
I
have to say that the match that they're going to do on NXT on Tuesday, I'm not exactly in love with. They did tease it. Well, not tease it. They did show you the footage. It's going to be Trick and A. Still, I can't say it. I'm sorry. I can't say it. It's just awful. First Class Trick, I guess, whatever they're calling that trio. They're going to take on Briggs and Inamura, who are a tag team from NXT, but also from NOAH, because Inamura is on loan from Pro Wrestling NOAH. Either way, and Elijah's coming in on the TNA side. So really a multi Forbidden Door-esque trios match for Tuesday. But I don't know. It's nice to see the three First Class Trick folk doing something together. And I do like that later on we did get the tease about tag team gold for First Class, because again, if you're going to have one guy with draped in gold with the TNA title, then the other two guys should probably be going for something too. So that kind of became the through line for tonight's show, which I always appreciate when my pro wrestling has a story that starts at the beginning and runs through to the end. So it was a pretty good night for TNA. I like that.
Heck yeah. I love TNA. I know that sounded very generic, but that's how I felt inside of my heart.
Wow. You felt very generic. You just needed to say it.
El Generico. I just wanted to say it.
I like this sugared cereal. More, please.
Popeye's chicken is a shiznit. That's all. If you're old enough to remember that, because I feel like that's such a millennial joke now.
awful, but also good, but not awful is leaving a thumbs up on the video. If you haven't already, go ahead and do that and subscribe to us here on Fightful. We are marching towards a higher number than it was yesterday. So go ahead and join us there. We're dropping content every single day. And of course, Fightful Select is the best way to get your most aggregated news that's out there. But if you want the proper news as it's reported, the way it's supposed to be, $5.99 is all you need. And we have a free tier as well if you want some of it, but you know, maybe you're not able, or maybe you just want to dip your toes out in the water. You can go and join the free tier of Fightful Select, get some news and some scoops here and there. And then $5.99 is where you can start in if you want to get everything, including the Weekender podcast. Steven Jensen does that. He covers all the indies and joins us, by the way, for every single TNA pay-per-view. So the main four, he'll be with us for Slammiversary in July. We're looking forward to that. And of course, Sour Graps got Alex Pawlowski and our pal Kate doing their best interpretations of how they feel about professional wrestling when it's bad. And Sean's Q&A, of course, he did it tonight, actually, behind the paywall. He was counter-programming us, Cresta. Instead of watching TNA, he was out here giving his Dynamite Summer Blockbuster review and doing a news roundup. So that's all the stuff you get over on FIFA Select. You can also pick up the audio later. That's what I'm going to do, but that's just me. But either way, do that. Yeah. Go to the Super Chat. Any amount, get your question, statement read on the air, supports us here on the show, and of course, gets you moving the topics towards what you want to talk about. And you can also donate a Humper Chat. So now it's your turn.
I like it when it's my turn. And I also like it when you head on over to humperchats.com. Yes, that is humperchats, HUMPERCHATS.com. You can put your comment in the comment box. We'll read it aloud and you'll put your donation amount in the donation box and we get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds. Like Joel Pearl said, we would love for you to steer the conversation in a way that you decide you like your control, humperchats.com.
Bing. Still doing that one, right?
Sure. Listen, I'm trying to give you the radio, the whole radio, you know, DJ Cresta in the afternoon.
You gotta do one of those like morning drive by.
Just do a whole... Wake up.
That's the kind of shit that you need. Anyway, let's do
11 o'clock at 10. I'm sorry, 10:20 at night. Wake up.
Yeah, exactly. No more easy listening. You're waking up with the... Anyway, I'm not going to wake up my whole house. Anyway, Impact opens up with a little outdoor entertainment. Mike Santana is trying to get into the building, and out comes Santino Marella, who beat Robert Stone at Against All Odds. For some reason, that was the match that almost was the main event. It was the main event before the main event. Regardless, Santino says to Santana, hey, you've been suspended for 2 weeks. And Santana and Santino is, you don't put them on screen together. You will absolutely mess up who you're talking about. Mike Santana says, I don't understand why. And Santino's like, for what you did against All Odds. And Santana's like, nah, I still don't get it, but I respect you and I'm going to go. And so he goes, he's suspended for 2 weeks. Santana, that's the kayfabe reason. For those who want the real reason, the tapings were still in Phoenix. And they happened to have coincided with Santana needing to be back in New York, where he was running the House of Glory Puerto Rican weekend event that he does every for the last two or three years. Regardless, that was his event that he was doing, where he also dropped his House of Glory championship. But I digress. Santana was unavailable for the tapings. As a result, he was suspended for 2 weeks. And then Robert Stone tries to sneak in and he gets thrown out, which is hilarious. It was cute because I think Robert Stone does really good physical comedy. So that was good. What do you think of the little Santana interaction and just Robert Stone being ousted, but maybe not officially ousted from the TNA spot?
What I do like is seeing someone carried out by their arms and feet in a comedic style. Only at that point. The only way it could have been funnier is if they Jazzy Jeffed him. Only way that could have been funnier is if AJ Francis Jazzy Jeffed him, because Joe Hendry called him Uncle Phil. So.
Would have been great.
Ah! Just by the seat of his pants. This was fine. I wish there was a better explanation of suspending Santana, but it's fine. It's not that deep. You know what I mean?
It's one of those, you know what you did. And Santana's like, all right, I did it.
I farted in my hand and I put in your eye and I gave people pink eye. My bad. I was goofing.
I'll learn next time. Oopsie. See you in 2 weeks. That's fine. There was, by the way, PW Insider reported that there is some WWE interest in Mike Santana. That should come as no surprise, given the work he's been doing, not only in TNA that we've been seeing, but also in NXT for the last few weeks. Very nice to see it, because Santana is absolutely one of those guys who's come a long way and deserves a lot of eyes on him. And it seems like it's paying off for him, which is great.
Absolutely. I can imagine a WWE presentation of Mike Santana. It makes me be like, wow. Some of those matches, because you can get good, funny, like storyline matches with like a Jey Uso, but I also know for a fact he can wrestle with the best of them, like a Gunther. So I would love to see it. I would like to see it. I would like to see it. As long as they use him, don't piss me off. As long as you use him.
It's funny that you think of Jey Uso for the comedy thing, and I'm like, he just do Jey Uso's through the crowd entrance. That's the only thing they have in common to me.
Well, I mean, like, those two in the sense of that, I'm trying to find the politically correct way to say what I'm trying to say. In the sense that these two have very similar styles, in that, except one is more like, I'm joking, and the other one's, I'm not joking. What about this to you is a joke? This is not funny. And I like to see the juxtaposition.
I was going
to
say, these feel like the antithesis of each other.
Like, in the sense, like, there's one guy's like, this is how I am, and this is a joke. And the other person's like, this is not a joke to me. I take wrestling incredibly seriously. I know I can do it. I can do what you're doing. But I did that and I don't like that. And it, yeah, I would love to see a program where he makes Jay legit. You know what I mean?
I would love to see. I saw someone in the chat mention Santana versus Damian Priest.
Oh,
and I like
please.
The idea of those two. I like the idea of those two just interacting to begin with, but then fighting with and against each other. So in other words, as a tag team together, I'd love to see it. And as a one-on-one, I wouldn't mind seeing it either. It
would sound I'd like fun. To see him beat up Seth Rollins. What?
That would be fun. I'd like to do that. But anyway, it's there's some good stuff coming for Santana, and we're going to get through that in the next couple of weeks. But he's not on the show tonight, and we'll talk about later. He's not on the show despite being advertised for it.
Hard subject to change and all that.
Sure, I figured maybe you'd have a replacement by the time you announce a 10-man. Anyway, Santino comes out at the beginning of the show. And Matt Cardona was the special guest referee, by the way, for the Robert Stone match for some reason. This is my I'm going to nitpick little things from Against All Odds that really annoyed me. Why was Matt Cardona the guy? I understand he's impartial because he's a free agent. However, he's also the guy who will go where the money is most. And why would TNA management be like, hey, you're impartial, right? And trust Matt Cardona being like, yeah, I'll be impartial. When Robert Stone's like, here's a wad of cash, what are you going to do? It just felt very like, we got to get this guy on the card. And also, he's got black and white referee trunks, so let's use that. It was Cardona's inclusion makes sense from a he's a draw standpoint, but his involvement in this match was very strange to me. I don't know if you have anything to add about Cardona doing the Stone and Santino match Against All Odds.
It was very sports entertaining. And to your point, if Matt Cardona goes where the money goes, Robert Stone probably tried to pay him, but TNA paid him more to call it down the middle. And that's what I'm going with.
Still not okay. Which, by the way, speaking of still not okay, I'm gonna just let me divert for a second. Remember like 2 weeks ago when I made the reference to the Carlos's hat, the Carlos Silva, the president of Anthem, wearing the black TNA trucker hat? And remember I was like, hey, can someone get the inside scoop as to why he wears that particular hat and not like the TNA logo hat?
Oh, yeah.
They released the trucker hat on the TNA shop now. It's a thing that you can purchase.
Well, you did that. Yes, Joel, you did that.
I hate myself for doing that.
You did that. You're a marketing genius.
I am never, ever going to offer up my opinion on things like this again. Ruins wrestling, I do.
That's what you are. You're a wrestling ruiner.
I am the John Cena 2025 of pro wrestling. I'm ruining it in my own way.
If Don Callis was here, he'd call you a stooge.
I have more hair than him. Doesn't take much. Anyway, Santino actually comes out and he's wearing the TNA hat. He's wearing the proper hat, which is also the VIP hat, which is something that they've started doing the last few rounds of shows. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Casey Navarro got it last time. They gave it to Santino this time. It's basically recognition for the hard work that TNA people or TNA staff or wrestlers, whatever, are doing. And they're basically recognized amongst their peers. Santino was recognized for Against All Odds and all the stuff at Under Siege as well, which was very, you know, very well received. And Santino's, again, I don't love his character all the time, but I really did appreciate the build to the match against Stone. And I think that he's been doing solid work that people like, and I cannot take that away from him. So he's wearing the hat. And first thing he does is make it official. Moose versus Leon Slater is officially happening for the X Division title at Slammiversary, the first announced match. Very happy to see it because you and I, Cresta, have been talking about it forever. And then he mentions that everyone in the locker room wants a shot at Trick Williams in the TNA World title. And then he doesn't really explain how. He just kind of peters off and says, everyone's inspired. And then he brings out the inspiration and he introduces them as Gasoline and Jesse M.K.
You'll pay for your crime, Santino.
Gasoline.
I'm in a gasoline. That's what that made me up.
Not about it. We're old, man. This sucks.
It'd be like that sometimes.
It does. Anyway, what do you think of Santino? And of course, your thoughts on Moose and Leon Slater. I know we've been talking about it ad nauseum, but now it's official.
Honestly, I think it is high time that Leon Slater takes it off of Moose. I think that in of itself, whether he was the youngest X Division champion or not, is such an accomplishment. Also, Santino to me is definitely giving heart and soul of TNA at this point. They love him. They love him. And I'll even go so far as to say it's given almost R-Truth levels of love. And that's okay. I think that's perfectly okay. I don't have anything else to add besides that because quite honestly, I'm ready for Leon Slater to take that title off of Moose. I'm quite ready for that because he's so talented.
Yeah. And again, this is the perfect match for these two at the perfect time. And it's not a gimmicky match. It's not an Ultimate X. It's not something in a cage. It's a one-on-one match. And we've seen these two work before and we know that the chemistry is there. Mm-hmm. Again, it's just like Kevin Knight, who's now in AEW. When Kevin Knight and Moose linked up, they had some great, great matches. And when I talked to Moose and with Kevin Knight about it, they just said like the chemistry was there. The size difference is good. Cause like, just like Leon Slater is like tall and lanky, just like Kevin Knight, Moose is tall and just big. So the matchup works and they know how to work around each other. And I think that's part of the chemistry. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to that particular match. It's time for Leon Slater to have his opportunity and hopefully capitalize.
Agreed. And plus with Moose having the chokehold on the X Division title as he's had, this is a great way, as the youth would say, to aura transfer one to another. Because I definitely think that Leon Slater has what it takes to bring the X Division. I think Hannah Finette said this earlier in the night too, that it's about not about weight limits, it's about no limits. And Leon Slater definitely encapsulates the heart of the X Division.
Yeah, he's the perfect candidate for the X Division title. And that's why I'm glad with the official announcement of the match and the match later on that we'll talk about as well. Santino introduces, like I said, the inspiration, Gasoline. That's never going to get old because it's so stupid. Gasolina and Jesse M'Kay, they are back. The inspiration are going after the Knockouts tag titles as they were. What did you think of the return of the inspiration? It's been 3 years since we've seen them in TNA.
So I've had my criticism about the inspiration, the Iconics in the past. And then when they weren't here, there was a hole in the women's tag team division that I just couldn't describe. Because I think that these two are the very fine line between jokes and wrestling. And I like them. I like them. I'm glad that they're back and I can see what type of match we're about to have. And Ash by Elegance, your days are numbered. I don't know that many numbers, so you're screwed, pals. So
it's going to be such a comedy match, my God.
Oh, man, that's going to be... I don't mean this derogatory, and I can see how this is going to be taken, but I don't mean... This is going to be the most pillowist of pillow fights, the Benny Hill music with the feathers, like, you're ugly, smash the makeup in the face, the pie, and then there's going to be a couple of impressive wrestling moves, and then there's going to be jokes at the end, and I'm here for it. Honestly, I think this is the perfect lane for both of them to be in, and maybe it's time for Ash by Elegance brand to see how it's actually done, how to be actually elegant. It'd be a swerve if they joined them. That'd be annoying, but I could also see that too.
No, there's only room for one obnoxious, inspirational, pretty tag team. That's what the Knockouts tag team division is. Although with the 8-4-1, we'll talk about that. A few potential tag teams were maybe in play for that, which I wouldn't mind seeing. The inspiration being back, I think, is good for TNA. I've never been the biggest fan of the tag team. I've always been a bigger Jesse McKay fan than Cassie Lee fan. And it's not like because I prefer one over the other. I got used to the way that Jesse McKay's comedy was for me. I thought she was a really good actress. And Cassie, like, again, they're all not the best wrestlers in the world, but as a tag team, they're very good together. So I'm looking forward to whatever they're going to do in TNA. I'm hoping that whatever they do in the tag division brings up more tag teams as well and elevates the Knockouts tag division to a place where it's not just 2.5 teams every 2 months.
No, I agree. Because this to me is an established team. And I do think that with the Elegance brand, there is almost a Thanos Infinity Stones collecting problem. Heather by Elegance makes sense. Maggie Lee, all right.
I can see Maggie by Elegance. You love Maggie.
I'm sorry, Maggie by. I do. She's an Amazon. She's a goddess.
Yeah, she is.
Sorry, M by M. Elegance. My apologies. Mulligans.
We call her Mulligans around these places.
Mulligan, if you play Magic
or golf. By the way, you have a lot of Aussies on the roster, as AO is pointing out. You know what that means. The Elegances are a three. Now you need the inspiration with their third eye. And you know who the third eye is?
Indie Wrestling.
Hartwell, that's right. Independence Hartwell makes up the third eye in inspiration, and you just know they're going to do it.
Honestly, I love Indie Hartwell. There's something like so goofy charming about her. I love her. Even if people said that, oh, she's this, that, and the third, I'm like, I don't see it. I'm Ray Charles. I don't see it. I don't see it.
I think it'd be fun. You don't have to do it like a lot. You just need to do a one-off just for the meme, just to do it. But anyway, the inspiration take on and defeat Missa Kate and Brittany Brooks. By the way, Brittany Brooks is going to have an interview dropping tomorrow here on this channel. Sean Rossap had a chance to sit down with her a couple of weeks ago. So go check out the interview. It drops, like I said, tomorrow. Again, they looked good, did the inspiration. And this is clearly their build for Slammiversary. Feels like it's going to be the inspiration against the Elegances. If they throw in a third and fourth team in there, I wouldn't hate it. They hit the Idolizer on Missa Kate. Jesse gets the pin. Straightforward reintroduction for the inspiration, who didn't look like there was a ton of ring rust on them as a tag team, which I appreciated.
Yeah, I do think that the Idolizer is a really pretty move. And Cassie Lee's fisherman suplex was really nice. It was really
always good, is. So. Always is. That was the whole like crux of her WWE run was how well she hit a Northern Lights suplex, which like sounds a little condescending, but it was very pretty and you do go to the well for that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if it looks good and you can execute it good, there are people who built their whole career off of a super kick. So
multiple people, my God. First Class Penthouse. Shout out Casey Navarro. He gets to work a match on NXT this Tuesday. Like I said, that rules. Very happy for him. They introduce, well, first of all, AJ Tees is giving $100 to a kid. Brings out this kid named Pedro, who's wearing a Hardy Boys t-shirt. Immediately, if you know, you're just like, oh, we know where this is going. And Pedro does the money tent, and then he does not get the $100 bill. And AJ's like, that's the way life goes. And everyone hates him. And it's very funny. They introduce Trick Williams. They come out. And now, this was the thing. Remember when we talked about Trick getting booed? Or being that like super cool heel, putting them with First Class is perfect because First Class is so obnoxious and ready to do the dumbest shit possible. And you had both men, especially Casey, just doing the Booker T Trick Williams theme stuff. And it's so awful and it's perfect. That stuff, those little things, they rule so much.
I have to tell you again, and I said this at the beginning of the show, I want to hate First Class so bad because I'm a hater, but I got to give credit where credit is due. I seen Casey Navarro when he was in House of Glory a few times, and watching him now week to week, boy, TNA, NXT, oh, he's a star. That boy is a star. Nobody looked like him. He's funny. He's athletic. He's a star. AJ Francis, again, every week that man's on TV. And I did like his jumpsuit, whatever. It was really nice. I liked his outfit tonight. That was also very nice. And I cannot front that even if you dislike him, again, this man is weaseling his way back to WWE. You cannot knock the hustle. Like, if you're going to hate, be for real.
I don't think he cared if he went back. I mean, obviously, like, the money is nice, but he's never been like, I got to get back to WWE. I got to get back. He was always kind of the mindset that, like, yeah, all right, you know, if it makes sense, I'll do it. It always felt like, I'm not going to put words into his mouth, but if I were in AJ's shoes, knowing what I know, doing what I've done, my feeling for this is I'm doing this to get Casey more looks, and I'm doing this to get a guy like Casey bigger opportunities, because, again, we've talked about this, AJ has his money, AJ has his connects, AJ has everything that he would like to have. Why not give back? Because if in the wrestling industry, the saying is, you leave the business better than you found it. You find those people that are worth giving the business to. And if Casey is that guy to AJ, then you do a deal like that with WWE and to work with Trick, and you become the connector. And I think if that is, if I'm in AJ's shoes, that's where I'm thinking. But he'd have to tell you that in an interview setting.
Well, Joel, you already know what you got to do. You set up the question. I'm sure AJ Francis, if you are watching this, Joel Pearl will DM you. I'm kidding. I don't know if you will.
I ain't DMing AJ. I've done it once and we had a nice conversation. I don't need to go out over that.
Respect. I just say that the AJ Francis, the character, oh man, those promos are going to be obnoxious. Y'all all said I should get fired. And where was I? Back at the place I got fired from. I can't wait. I can't wait. And I hate that he's getting over on me. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it because I want to hate him. I want to. I'm a hater. I want to hate. And you're preventing me from doing my job.
No, you're hating him for the right reasons. You're hating him for the reasons that he's supposed to be hated. He's doing his job. You're good.
Damn it.
First Class mentions they want gold. We talked about that. They're staking their claims to the tag titles. Of course, tonight in the main event, they face the Hardys. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Then I'm thinking to myself, at Slammiversary, if you do it, do a multi-team ladder match. Just do it. They teased it with the Nemeths and the Hardys when the Nemeths won the tag titles, and they teased it for Under Siege. But of course, then it was, oh, Jeff can't come to Canada. Now it's time to bring that back around. Do the tag team title ladder match. Do it multi-teams, two from TNA, maybe two from NXT, and just go ham. Maybe three from TNA, maybe one from NXT. Whatever it is.
It'd be three from TNA. Because yeah, if you think about it, it'd be three.
Yeah. And then again, the third team from NXT would probably be like Briggs and Inamura or something like that.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl. It's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl. Happy Friday. It's Jen. Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts. Like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Yeah, because I'm thinking about if you do a multi-man, you got the Hardys and Nemeths and First Class. That's already three right there. Unless you do one or two more and then five teams, I don't think.
No, I keep it to four teams when you're doing a ladder match. That's a lot of bodies. I'm thinking to myself, like, Slammiversary is the 20th, and I think the week before is Great American Bash. Yeah, it is. The 13th is the Great American Bash. So it's a week separated. So you'd take a tag team that's not like fully on the tag team title run in NXT and maybe do the TNA stuff for them.
Yeah, makes sense.
Anyway, moving forward, we've talked about the Jason Hotch and Leon Slater match. They showed the highlights from Hotch versus Ali, which, by the way, excellent match. Go out of your way to watch it. It was aired live for free on the TNA YouTube, so you can go and check it out. Cresta, you and I sat here the night before Against All Odds and said this is a match that is going to stand out. It has the opportunity for Jason Hotch to look great, and he did. The match story was perfect, and at the end of the day, while Ali gets the win, it furthers the Order 4 story. Hotch is still, you know, on the outs, but he's still kind of involved with Order 4. And then let's actually go to the backstage segment, because this kind of leans to something that you were talking about a couple of weeks back. The system approached Jason Hotch. Moose tells Hotch to take out Leon Slater, his opponent for the night. And he says, maybe I'll give you a replica system ring, which made me laugh. And then the system start teasing Hotch and saying, why don't you come join us? You can join us. Order 4, you're all fractured, you're not working. And then Order 4 show up, they size up the system, and they walk away. Cressa, I hate both teams. But for some reason, as you've mentioned before, there's a possibility that these two teams would go up against each other and have a hate-off. And it looks like maybe we're on some sort of path to that.
You would need another person. Who that person is, I don't know, because you would have Hotch, Skyler, Ali. They got JDC, Moose, Myers, Eddie Edwards. So that's four dudes versus three. So my only, if I'm using my sports entertainment brain, I would assume that the person that they called or who Tasha was speaking to would be their fourth and be like, bro, let me talk some sense into you. Maybe this is a face turn. Maybe it's a, I don't know what it is, but that would be my guess. That would be my guess. And a hate off, man, as much as I hate those guys, that match is going to be good.
It would be very good. That's the problem. It's like, where do you do this match? It's very strange.
Yeah, Lish got to watch her back. Ali hits women, so you got to watch her back, Lish.
Oh, that's awful and accurate.
Kayfabe, jokes, kayfabe.
Yeah, thanks for clearing that one up. Yeah, if the fourth person or the fifth person on the phone, if that was the other Alexander, Cedric Alexander, then make him the cousin of Josh on the TV show. But if it is Cedric Alexander, I would love the idea of doing an Order 4 or Order 5 against the system type of match. Someone saying after Slammiversary, yeah, you'd probably do it at either the live TV episode or I don't know when else you can do it. But Moose would have to drop that title first to make the story kind of focus on the team and not on one of them's the tag, one of them's the X Division champion.
You really think it could be Cedric Alexander? Because I would like that. I love that, actually. I remember their 205 live match, so I love that a lot.
Yeah, there's history there. Alexander hasn't signed anywhere else, and there is some rumblings that TNA is interested. They're not going to be picking up R-Truth or Ron Killings anytime soon, at least not officially through TNA. So if you got the money and you got the talent, and the talent's willing and the talent's ready, you hop on someone like Cedric Alexander.
I just low-key thought AEW would make a play for him for the Hurt Syndicate. That's just...
Doesn't mean they can't. Just hasn't happened yet.
True, fair.
Officially, there have been no talks, and there seems to be interest in TNA. And again, like it comes down to what Cedric wants to do. Does he want to work in TNA? Does he want to work AEW? Does he want to work either? He could say no. He can get snatched up by AEW tomorrow. We don't know. But to me, the person on the other side of the phone, to me, it should have been Cedric. Should be Cedric.
I can't think of anybody else. I've been trying to rack my brain. Who did you call? There was a time I might have said... Champagne Singh, but I just literally saw you get beat up.
You get rid of that person right now. You stop that.
I'm sorry. All right. I'm sorry. Never mind. Just
get rid of that Raj Singh nonsense. What's wrong with you?
I lived for it. It was stupid and corny. And you know, I love to be sports entertained.
Give him a damn TNA trucker hat. Ask him what he's doing now.
Stop it.
Never. Later on, Lish finds Matt Cardona in the distance. And then Edward Edwards and Brian Myers challenge Cardona and a partner to a tag match next week. Myers and Cardona stare as the system walk away, because Myers and Cardona both were tag teams, were a tag team in TNA. And of course, for those who know, they work together now, Major Figures Pod and all the other stuff that they do together. So it's a nice connection there. I'm looking forward to whatever they're about to do with this tag match with Cardona and mystery partner.
But to me, you will always be Edge's bitch. Shout out to Joe Hendry for that one.
Yeah, you notice that Joe Hendry then did the same thing for Trick. Anyway, not important. Joe Hendry only has two songs. Leon Slater defeats Jason Hotch in a banger of a match. When I read the spoilers and I saw Jason Hotch loses again, but then I saw it was Leon Slater, I'm like, oh no, we're doing the Slammiversary match. But again, Hotch has solo abilities and he's doing everything in these matches. These two men work together very smoothly, which I love. It's a showcase of the X division. The Swanton 450 gets the win for Leon Slater. And during the match, they mentioned that next week is the 23-year anniversary of the first ever TNA show. So that'll be next week. They'll do a 23-year celebration of TNA Impact because everyone remembers your 23rd anniversary.
23 and TNA me. I should have been on the marketing.
23 and me and A.
23 and me and A. Stop it. The woman was too stunned to speak. This match was really good. I will say the second third of this match is really where things began to pick up. The standing blue thunderbomb from Leon Slater, I feel like this is maybe the second or third time I've seen him do it consistently. That just needs to stay in his repertoire because he does it with such impunity. And I feel like a lot of high flyers give off the, I don't do that. I do quick bursts, bomb, bomb, bomb. But he's got some power behind the young man. Hotch is really, really, really good. And I'm glad that he's getting this time to shine. And it sucks that this is how it has to go down. But I feel like Hotch has the same problem, if I may, Alan Angels does. You're super talented.
I'm listening.
You're super duper talented because I like Alan Angels. I think you are really talented. I don't know if people are going to connect with you like that. And I don't like that. I hate it because I think Scotch and Skylar are really funny. They're a good tag team, but in the sense of you're always on the stooge end of the stick, I could see why people are like, me. You know what I mean? I think he's really, really good. I want there to be a time where we can really say his name in the X Division conversation and be for real about it.
I want you to think about right now a time when Jason Hotch took out the entire roster one by one by punching them in the dick.
You got me there, pal.
That's right. Ain't nothing like Alan Angels. What are you talking about?
Alan Angels is the front man for a reason. Right. You're right.
He's the hit him in the front man.
Because don't leave him behind the back.
Because he'll hit you in the back, too, if you ain't careful.
You're right. I'm sorry. I'll never disrespect the god, the king himself, Alan Angels, the yam back shuffler.
I wish I still had the still from the X Division match. Jake something in the dick.
That's very Super Mario. Get the coins.
We are such children talking about this stupid wrestling stuff.
No, I love wrestling. What is wrestling if not a bunch of dick punches?
Everybody sees it every month when John Cena has a match. And once it gets a little long in the tooth, I just tweet out, all right, John, kick him in the dick and let's go home.
All right, come on now. Like, there are some constants in professional wrestling. Someone getting punched or kicked in the nuts and somebody getting bit in TNA.
The moment I get a chance to interview Alan Angels, we're going to talk about dick punching in TNA.
Why don't you just make that your finisher? You've got the golden.
All about the shuffle. Anyway, knockouts 8-4-1 because there's no way to continue out of that one.
Not at all.
Getting your super chats, getting your humper chats. It's your favorite show on Thursday because there ain't no one else is doing it. 841, Jody Threat, Indy Hartwell, Tasha Steeles, and Killer Kelly in the eight. Okay, let's rewind, shall we? The 841 is very simple. There, in which it's not. It starts off with a 4-on-4 match. The winners of the 4-on-4, those four winners then go on to have a 4-way match in which one of them is the victor, and they get, in this case, a knockouts championship match. In this match, the 8 match, which was the 4-on-4, the team of Jody Threat, Indy Hartwell, Tasha Steeles, and Killer Kelly, who also made her return at Against All Odds this past Friday, defeated the team of Rosemary, Zaya Brookside, for some reason they're on a team together, Danny Luna, and Tessa Blanchard. So, once again, from the 8, Jody, Indy, Tasha, and Killer Kelly made it into what would be a 4-way. And the other four don't matter because they just were in the match and they lost.
They lost. They're losers. I'm kidding.
Big losers. But in the finish, Killer Kelly, it should be a shock to nobody, Killer Kelly steals the win. She wins the Knockouts World Championship number one contendership match, which apparently is not at Slammiversary. It is in 2 weeks on Impact. The way I had heard it was when Masha said, in 2 weeks when we meet in the ring, I am going to, effectively, she said, make you my bitch. I thought they were going to do a promo or a contract signing or a something. And now everyone else is telling me the match is going to be in 2 weeks. And I'm just like, all right, we're just going to go with it then.
Anyway, honestly,
thoughts on the match?
The match was fine. Tessa walking out, very on brand. Killer Kelly stealing it. Hilarious.
Also hilarious. Also on brand.
And everybody's hair tonight in this match was really fantastic. I know that has nothing to do with anything.
No,
but everyone's hair was really, really good. And Indy Hartwell's crimps, those waves, and her gear, I thought Indy was going to win. But Killer Kelly said, you see this bob? This is the business bob, and I'm about to get to this business.
Indy wearing the loose pants. She hasn't done that, and I thought that was a good fit for her. It looked all the women had really, really solid gear, good look. I like that Jody Threat's back in the mix, Dani Luna as well. They were not afraid to go up against each other in the 8-woman tag. Tessa and Victoria Crawford look to be on a course to either collide, have problems, or team up, which honestly, if they're just going to be a Knockouts tag team, go for it. In a division where they're not as important as they could be, put them there. It's fine.
I'll also say too, in looping back to Indy Hartwell, she did, I don't know if it was a semi-big boot or a big boot, but I think she should add that because she's tall. And when she, if she's not tall, her legs are at least very long. And when she kicked, I think it was, it was someone who was blonde? No, it wasn't. I think it was Tasha Steele she kicked. It looked like she kicked that girl straight to hell. And honestly, I think if you're tall, girl, I'm nobody, but add that to your repertoire. It would make me laugh. Can you imagine kicking Lish? And Lish is a good seller. She looked like she exploded. Come on. That'd be fantastic.
Going back to Killer Kelly, because she did win the match, when she returned it against all odds to confront Masha, she had the dog collar, which famously linked the two of them together. They had their dog collar match. Do you remember when that dog collar match was?
No.
It was against all odds 2023. So at least they did a little bit of continuity there. Probably unexpected because it was all based on when Killer Kelly was able to come back and the timing was right. But I like that there's a little bit of extra history in there that she had the collar. MK Ultra was absolutely a thing that had people weak in the knees and everywhere else. You and I got to talk about that a lot, you especially. And they called her Kinky Killer Kelly for a reason. And against all odds is back, baby.
I support women's wrestlings and women's wrongs. And if I'm not mistaken, I remember watching that dog collar match like this, because I think it was bloody and these women tried to kill each other. So I'm excited. I like Killer Kelly. All things considered, I know this match is about to be gross, but that's what they're known for. That's what they're known for. I hate it when two of my favorites fight, but they're greater good or whatever the joke is.
Indy hits the Hurts Donut on Tasha, and then Killer Kelly kicks Indy, steals the win. So post-match, I mentioned Gia Miller asks Masha Slamovich, who's backstage, about the win, and Masha says, I know everything about Kelly, and when they see each other in 2 weeks, she'll put Kelly on her knees and make her her bitch, as one does.
Honestly,
looking forward to the match.
I support women's wrongs. Let's get it.
Let's get to it. Macklin is backstage. He beat Mance Warner at Against All Odds, defended his international championship. Recently, he posted, where do you want to see me defend this thing next? And I was like, go to Tipea, go to Mexico. This is an international title. Go international. We'll see where that goes. Next week is the Champions Challenge 10-man tag match that we talked about. And Macklin also called out Trick Williams in the match because everybody hates Trick.
As they should. But they can't hate his outfits because Trick is always dressed nice. But as they should.
Well, he's, you know, dressed in white or black, and it's usually the same combination. Eh, it's fine.
To be fair, I also, Seth Rollins would go out there in a paper bag and I'm going to live. So
yeah, there you go. It's about having a good stylist on your team.
Or confidence or whatever the saying.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, just own it, baby. Just own it. Speaking of owning it, we're gonna have to own this. Mance Warner comes out with Steph DeLander. DeLander says basically that nobody screws but us. And it's just like,
someone in the crowd said, prove it. I was like, yo, grow up.
Did they say, I thought they said PG.
I think one person said PG, but someone definitely yelled out, prove it.
Wow. Okay.
Some wrestling fans, man. Baby, yay.
Mance Warner threatens a crew member. Tommy Dreamer comes out. And I'm like, why do we need Tommy Dreamer doing this in 2025? Steph DeLander thinks her mic is still live and she's trying to talk to Tommy Dreamer. And I'm like, all right, could cut that. Dreamer gets suplexed, almost gets dropped on his head by Mance because Mance didn't realize that Tommy's not as light as he used to be. Mance hits a Shining Wizard on Dreamer. And I cannot tell you that I feel like we've done this dance recently and we're about to do it again. I cannot tell you how much I do not need Tommy Dreamer wrestling on my screen in 2025. As much as I did not need Cody Deaner wrestling on my screen in 2025, as much as I really don't need Hometown Man on my screen in 2025. And before I was like, it's funny. It's taking up TV time. It's taking up TV time from another talent who could very well be on the precipice of something great or at least given an opportunity. Instead, you're like, oh, I got Hometown Man. I'm like, you don't need Hometown Man. You don't need Hometown Man. You don't need Dreamer. People have moved on. Nobody's coming out to a TNA show and just be like, man, I really hope Tommy Dreamer gets beat up tonight in front of the crowd. Or, man, I really hope that I get to see Cody Deaner wear a mask and pretend he's from hometown of the Hometown Man. There's just no reason for this other than we think it's funny backstage and we're popping ourselves. I don't care for it.
I didn't take it that way. You know how I took it? Oh,
slap to the face?
Nah, where's Slammiversary? Long Island. Where's Tommy Dreamer from?
Oh, fuck you.
Long Island.
Sorry, I don't drop F-bombs very frequently.
I knew what that was. They're talking about Slammiversary all night. And then Manswater randomly attacks Tommy Dreamer for no reason. Slammiversary's in Long Island. All right. I can see what's happening here. Okay? I just know this is going to be a pre-show match. And I'm just going to take it for what it is. I'm not going to be upset, but I already know where this is going. This is going to Slammiversary.
Why? Why would this be a...
Tommy Dream is from Long Island.
He's from Young.
Where is... Yeah, it doesn't matter. So is Eddie Kingston, but we still claim him.
Awful.
Okay, at the end of the day, my statement still stands. And when it's on the pre-show, go ahead and be like, Cresta, you son of a...
But the thing is, like, Dreamer wouldn't book himself on the pre-show. He'd be booked on the stupid main card. Just a waste of time. Like, Mance Warner versus Tommy Dreamer for what? Who's more hardcore? Let me give you a hint. It's Mance Warner.
So hardcore.
So don't you start. We went through this in March. I don't want to start this again. She's gone. She's moved on. She could come back, but she's gone for now.
I know, but I like his honesty. Sorry, guys.
Ruining my day. 11 o'clock at night, and you've already ruined this. Ugh.
Welcome to hell.
Yeah, tell me about it. I'm there. Sammy Callahan and the Northern Armory have a something. Sammy Callahan's talking into a camera, saying nothing about nothing, basically saying, I hate Trick Williams. And then EY comes up and he's like, we were all champions. And I can't do the EY voice at this hour. Effectively just saying we were all world champions and Trick Williams is a piece of garbage. And then they decide that they're going to do Eric Young versus Sammy Callahan next week. They kind of shake hands and then EY blindsides Sammy. And that's that.
Yeah, this is strange, but at the same time, I hope you know what I'm about to say. I don't expect nothing less from a ghost, so.
That's true, he's a ghost. It's a pretty awful ghost, too.
He's the phantom of Total Nonstop Action.
23 years he's been haunting that place. And you know what? That match is probably going to open up the show because I think he opened up the first Impact. I think that was the whole thing was EY was in the first Impact and like opened up the show.
Yeah, I feel like we did this when they rebranded to TNA and I think it was like him and Kazarian or something like that.
Yeah, I gotta look it up real quick now. Someone in the chat's gonna tell me. Don't give me the list. Just give me the matches.
I honestly would kind of live for a Phantom of the Wrestling Ring starring Eric Young with that mask that he wears just to see what that would happen. I just want to see what would happen. A bunch of wrestlers in a musical. I just want to see what would happen. I just want to see what would happen.
The opening contest, non-dark, involved Eric Young, Petey Williams, Bobby Roode taking on Hector Garza, Sanjay Dutt, and the Amazing Red. There you go. I knew I wasn't crazy. So
it'd be really cute if they brought Amazing Red out. I mean, I know it probably won't happen, but it would be really cute if they did.
Well, they don't, because the episode was already taped in Tempe and Red was working a match against the guy that they suspended on this week's show. So
I hate wrestling now.
I was going to say, if the match is in 2 weeks, they're in Philly or they're in Pittsburgh. So like maybe, but no, not next week.
Fair.
Speaking of next week, EY versus Sami Callihan, I assume is going to open the show now that we've discussed that he was on TNA episode number one. Masha Slamovich and Laying Lee are going to team up to take on Ash and Heather by Elegance. And then the Champions Challenge. So this was funny because they announced it as Trick Williams, Steve Macklin, the Nemeths, and Moose taking on Joe Hendry, Elijah, the Rascals, and Mike Santana. To which I said, you know, 2 hours ago, you guys suspended him, right? Like, you know that this... When you put this together, like, you know, you suspended him, right? So Leon Slater is the replacement. For those who watched the show tonight and figured out who's facing Moose, and also it's a Champions versus Challengers episode, so there is that. The Hardys technically defeat First Class via DQ in the main event. Trick Williams interferes. Joe Hendry and Elijah make the save. The system come out. The Rascals and Slater join the fray. And that's the end of TNA Impact this week.
I mean, I'll be real with you. That was literally the main event. It was the hits, baby. And even the hits from the crowd, we want tables. It was the hits, baby. So I did like Trick Williams' suit. Like, I don't know, something about him wearing that stark white and just running down to the ring to cause a DQ. What a dastardly move. Why is it supposed to be for faces? What are you doing?
You think? I mean, I feel like Francis and Casey Navarro should be a little pissed off at Trick for that. Because, like, they cost them the match, and they wanted to get the win so that they could go on to get the tag title match.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. But they also weren't going to win. I don't know. Listen, as much as I respect them in a kayfabe, they're still stooges. You know what I mean?
That's true. And for all I know, it's going to be that they end up just doing that. And just being like, hey, what the hell is wrong with you?
Can you imagine the dissension already? Grand opening, grand closing?
No, I could.
No, you're right. It's wrestling, pal. I'm sure they'll find a way. And Trick Williams has also said this before. I don't care. I'm worried about Trick Williams. So if Trick Williams says that, he's like, I was just trying to help you guys. But even when he was on the First Class Penthouse, he was kind of like, okay, you helping me. Again, he said, you light skins as I. Yeah, that's not your friend. That's not your friend. That's not your friend. That was not your friend. I popped. As a light skin myself, that made me laugh. But like, bro, that's not your friend. Trick Williams is Trick Williams' friend. And I feel like AJ Francis, you would definitely understand. The only one who's going to really get screwed out is Casey Navarro or the Scrappy Doo of First Class, if you will.
Well, they'll be on TNA Impact. No, they won't. They will next week. They'll be on NXT next week on Tuesday in their six-man tag. That's it for TNA. That's all they did. They did the crazy-ass finish, and they're going to do a 10-man tag next week, and it's going to be the just like in Brampton when I went to the tapings. They're going to do 2 weeks of tapings, and then the second week of tapings are going to be a multi-man finish the night off strong and happily for everyone type of thing. It's very funny when TNA does these tapings because it's just like we're just getting by on night two. Sometimes the main events are just there to entertain the crowd and that's it. We're just riding the wave of the weekend. Let's just get out of here unscathed. Speaking of which, we should get out of here unscathed. Cresta,
I agree with that.
What's happening?
My name is Cresta Starr. I am here with you near or far. I'm not going to rap the whole time. I'm here every Thursday. Myself and Joel Pearl, we go over all things TNA. I enjoy talking TNA with you, so hop in. And if you need more Cresta Starr in your veins talking about professional wrestling, I am here every Saturday, not this Saturday, of course, because Collision came on Wednesday with AEW Dynamite. But myself, Rick and Iridian, sometimes Sean Rossap, go over all things AEW Collision. And if you need even more Cresta Starr, you can search in your favorite search engine, Cresta Star on all social media platforms besides Facebook, and X, where it's Cresta the Star, like Megan Thee Stallion, right below me. I have a YouTube, all of that fun stuff. You guys are fantastic. I hope you find $20 on the floor and your butt looks nice. Joel Pearl, where can the people find you?
My wallet's in my bag behind me. I can't pull out a 20.
Darn it. But then it's not on the floor. It's in your wallet.
Well, I would just kind of drop it on the floor and go from there. But
not you, Aura Farming.
Well, you know, you got much else to farm. I am going to farm this overtime finish for the Panthers and Oilers game. How about that? Amazing. The Panthers just they just tied the game with 20 seconds left in regulation. So
is that hockey?
Yeah, Stanley Cup Finals. So
yes. So this is the winner tonight.
This isn't the last match, but this is a pivotal one. This is a good game. So it's going to go to overtime. I'm going to go watch that. I go in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but the show also happens to run 5 times a week. It's a Monday to Friday show, 10 a.m. Eastern, over on our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked. If you haven't subscribed to that channel and checked us out, you should, because we're dropping stuff every day. And on top of that, I do this show with Cresta, and we're sleepy boy and girl right now because that's just what we are sometimes. But we cover TNA Wrestling every Thursday. We cover select plus events and all the pay-per-views as well. We are going to be back next Thursday as we always are. But, you know, until then, go to Overbooked and leave a thumbs up now and leave a thumbs up later and tell all your friends and hang out with us. So until then, you know who she is. You know who I am. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.